Welcome to the CBS and Days edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing David Lago going to General Hospital, John Callahan going to Days of Our Lives, and Trisha Cast returning to Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Joining me today, I have a wonderful crew of people to discuss Young and the Restless, Days of Our Lives, Guiding Light as the World Turns, and which one am I missing? Bold and the Beautiful. There we go. Welcome, Melody.
Hey.
Welcome, Nikki.
Hello.
And welcome, Jamie.
Hey.
Okay. Now, I have to just start out here, because as you all know, anybody who's listened to this podcast for any length of time knows that I have not been watching Young and the Restless that long, probably 5 to 7 years. Apparently, some big news broke this last week for those fans of Young and the Restless who've been watching much longer than I. The word that Trisha Cast is returning to Young and the Restless, and according to Melody, she basically spit out her pop onto her computer screen while she was in the library or wherever it was that when she read the news. Melody, what does this mean for you as a Young and the Restless fan?
Yes. Trisha Cast is back. Nina is back. I'm so excited. I loved that character when I was little. I just remember she wouldn't put up with anybody's crap. I love that about her. So, and like, this opens the door to a whole nother storyline because she has a son, Philip IV. That's for Philip III, the one that died. But yeah, it's really complicated, as we all know. But it opens up a lot of doors, and Trisha Cast is awesome. So I'm excited.
Now, Jamie, could you please tell the listeners, for those of them that are like myself, give us a little bit of history about the character, her role in the past. Melody mentioned it briefly, but what does this mean?
Nina is one of Bill Bell's signature creations. She was basically this teen pregnancy storyline. Well, that's how she came to the show. She was pregnant, and Darlene Conley, who went on to play Sally on The Bold and the Beautiful, played Rose, who was a madam. She had been a madam before that storyline on the show. And then she ended up becoming a baby snatcher or baby broker, however you want to put it. And Trisha's first big storyline as Nina Webster was having her baby stolen by the evil Rose. And she never got the baby back. And that's so, you know, unique for soaps that they told a story that happens to people that they didn't have a payoff. Nina never got her son back. She went on to fall in love, or at first it was just fall in love with the money of, you know, Philip Chancellor III, played by Tom Beertz. Every woman in town wanted Philip, from Lauren to Cricket, who was the Blessed Virgin good girl of the show. But Nina schemed and connived to get her paws on Philip and his money, and she did just that. And much to Cricket's chagrin early on, but she got pregnant with Philip IV, and it was one of the first storylines where I remember Jill and Catherine teaming up. And this was way back before there was any mother-daughter stuff. So, yeah, they teamed up to get this grifter out of his life, but she just dug her heels in even, you know, her nails in even stronger. And in the interim, she and Cricket actually became best friends. And major storyline when they killed off Philip. I think I've read somewhere that Bill Bell says that that was one of the few storylines that he regretted telling. And I know he said that about Malcolm in the paternity switch too with Lily. Yeah, so they killed off Philip, and Nina became an heiress. She inherited, like, $1 bazillion from the Chancellor estate for Philip. So Jill hired this guy, David Kimball, to romance Nina, marry her, and steal her fortune away. And when Nina got wind of that and that he had been cheating on her and, you know, basically going to use her to get that money, one of the most dramatic moments in YNR history, she pulled a gun on him and shot him 5 times in the chest.
So then what does her return mean for present day Young and the Restless?
she went on from that point to fall in love with Ryan, who was Victoria's true love when they were younger. And she stole Ryan away from Victoria, so Victoria is still there. So that's a bitter rival for her.
Do we know if she's returning for a long run, or is it only a temporary?
She's supposedly only returning for a brief run. But as far as for current Young and the Restless fans, since they it'll be tricky because they have, of course, done the baby switch that Kane is the real Chancellor heir, which that to me isn't that big of an issue, except that the actor, Daniel Goddard, is much younger than
Well, I was going to ask.
Trisha.
They've sort of reverse sore-assed both Victoria and Kane.
Well, no, Victoria was a kid. She was a child.
Oh, Victoria was younger?
So,
okay. Yeah, I didn't know if they were supposedly comparable.
She married Ryan when she was 16 or 17. But Kane, you know, really, Philip would be in his mid-40s, but Daniel Goddard is, I think, in his mid to late 30s. So it'll be, but soaps play fast and loose with history. In fact, Nina's kid, Philip IV, is older than Billy and Lily and all of them, but he was never sore-assed. So I don't know how they'll, if they'll even mention, I'm sure there'll be a nod about him being at boarding school or something. He's just, soaps do sore-assing and then they just freeze certain kids and they just never, like little Nate, Nate is older than Lily and he hasn't, mm-hmm. Olivia's kid. So they're just forever teenagers, I guess. But
okay. Well, Nick...
Nina is also the sister of Danny Romolotti, I believe. I think they revealed that Rex, Catherine's other husband, Rex Sterling, was her father. So
that
it'll be, it's a lot
be
of
interesting.
She's got a lot of history there.
Nikki, now you told me before the podcast that you remembered her from just before she left. What are your memories of her, and what are you looking forward to her with her return?
I basically remember that she had a relationship with Ryan and that she and Victoria were rivals. I wouldn't mind seeing a female rival for Victoria. Maybe it would put some life in the character. So that could be interesting.
Well, there was some other big Young and the Restless news, except for it was for ABC. David Lago, who once played Raul, is going to be going to General Hospital as Sonny's son. Oh boy, where do we even start? Nikki, you went last. You haven't had much of a chance to talk. What do you think of this?
Well, I wasn't really that impressed with him on Young and the Restless, so I'm actually kind of disappointed. I think they could have come up with somebody a lot more, a lot more of an edge to play Dante than him. But I'm always willing to give it a chance, so we'll see how he, what kind of chemistry he has with all the other actors and see if it'll work.
Well, and one of the reasons why over the weekend I went and blogged a bunch of stuff from his portfolio is because there's a possibility that there's a lot of ABC fans who never watched him on Young and the Restless, because a lot of course, if you're an ABC fan, you don't always watch CBS soaps. While I was doing some research for blogging about it, I came across, and I don't know how this is pronounced, so forgive me on this one, Obsidier? I'm not sure if that's what it's pronounced.
Obsidiary.
Okay, whatever Jamie said. After watching that trailer or the clip for that small indie film, it was like, okay, this guy can perfectly be Sonny's son. He'll be depressed, drinking, and throwing glass in a week. Now, Mel, what do you think of this?
I think it's, worth a shot for him to catch him on GH. I liked him on Young the Restless. He was a Go Badger Boathouse kid, so I was always all for that. And he's a good little actor, so...
I don't remember, did he ever have scenes with Greg Vaughn's version of Diego since they're brothers?
Mercy.
Yeah, he had...
Because it'll be interesting to see them act together again, if that's the case.
Yeah, they interacted after Diego screwed
Sharon or Victoria.
Victoria and Sharon and, destroyed the Newman family. I guess he was kind of pissed off because he's like,
One of the things that I, in posting those clips on the blog, it did remind me of the Glow by Jabot kids and Lauren Woodland, who was on there, who played Brittany. God, we miss her. I was thinking, I don't particularly care for the character of Sarah Weber, but maybe now that he's on there, She'd make a very good Sarah Weber recast. But, Jamie, what do you think of him going to General Hospital as opposed to Tom Pelfrey?
I think Tom Pelfrey's too good for soaps. I know I dog the coupling a lot, but he's a great actor, and I think he should be setting his sight to primetime. David, I thought David was a good actor. I liked Raoul. I liked him with Brittany, but
he always came off a bit wimpy to me.
I have two main concerns. The first concern is with the age of Sonny's kid. Wouldn't this kid be older? I mean, Sonny's already had a possible kid pop up when they had Lily's kid by Miguel show up in town. And that guy is Michael Saucedo, I think, who's married to Liz Herbst in real life. He's 30 now. You know, I'm kind of thinking, and I know David Lago is almost 30 also, but it just seems, you know, they're playing fast and loose with the age. Sonny's kid, you know, if he had this kid in high school, should be older than Liz, you know. David Lago, I don't know. And maybe it's the whole Glow by Jabot thing, because, I mean, who knows how old he was when he was playing that. But I think of him as much younger than, I don't know.
Well, and he looks very young on screen.
Yeah, so that's one of my issues. My other issue is the fact that he showed his ass at the Emmy Awards. I'm sorry. We all know this is an industry that hasn't recognized people like Catherine Kelly Lang and Victoria Rowell, and Jeannie Cooper just got hers last year. So I thought it was really tacky and disrespectful for him to get up there and try to show his ass, you know, the first time he gets on the mic. I mean, this industry has screwed over. I mean, Eileen Davidson didn't get the Emmy for Days of Our Lives. So that, I don't know. I just thought I'm one of those people that believes in being a gracious winner or loser. So I was sitting at home like, what the hell is that boy up there talking about?
And at the time there was a lot of criticism for that speech. And if you haven't watched the speech, and no, he did not moon the audience in showing his bum. But
I didn't know anything about that. But you know, what if Susan Lucci would have got up there one time when Erica Slezak won and just went up there and went ape shit? This is my award.
I mean, it'd be like Susan Lucci going up on the Emmy Awards stage and pretending to be Meryl Streep or Katharine Hepburn. I mean, that's basically sort of what it is.
Kind of went a little left there, but you know, maybe.
And you can watch that clip on Daytime Confidential, because we did post that because some people may not remember it. He also beat Tom Pelfrey out that year. I think after that, Tom Pelfrey won practically every single year since, with the exception of maybe that one year for Jesse Sofer. But it will be interesting to see what he does on General Hospital, and it will be interesting to see if any Young and the Restless fans tune in for his hopping of networks. Now, speaking of hopping networks, word came out this last week that John Callahan, formerly Edmund, All My Children, is going to be making a jump to Days of Our Lives as yet another doctor. I swear to God, they're trying to get more doctors on this show than General Hospital, and they don't have the hospital to support it. But apparently he's going to have a storyline with Arian Zucker. He's going to be giving her some baby medical advice or helping her deal with an upcoming problem. Nikki,
he's a specialist in people who have no wombs having children.
pretty much. Nikki, what do you think of him coming to Salem as yet another doctor?
Well, at least he's consistent. You know, everybody was all upset when he got killed off All My Children, but I wasn't really a fan of Edmund on All My Children. So, I don't know. I guess I don't have a lot to say today, but, you know, maybe it'll spark something with Nicole so that you can get her away from EJ because she's annoying me with that whole thing. That would work for me.
Jamie, what are your thoughts about him going to Days of Our Lives?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know he has to cost a pretty penny. I mean, this show basically said they couldn't afford to keep Matt Ashford when he was begging to stick around, why they couldn't recast Missy and keep Jack and Jennifer in town. But now they're getting all these, I know, high-dollar extras, basically. I mean, John Callahan, Roscoe Bourne, Matt Borlaug, these are all name soap actors. You know, I mean, now Matt's had been off the canvas for a while, but you know, I question the logic with these soaps all the time when it's like, oh, we can't afford to keep these people that you really want to see, but we're going to go ahead and bring on these other people. And it would be good if they actually gave him a storyline, but I mean, it's like, they're glorified extras is what I think it is. And, you know, I mean, the hospital, it's really good that they're, you know, because Days of Our Lives is rooted in the hospital also. I mean, it started off about a doctor and his family. So, but it would be so much more effective if this doctor was, say, Dr. Mike Horton or, you know, Dr. Sandy Horton. You know, the Hortons, a lot of the Horton kids followed in Tom's footsteps and grandkids. I'd rather see them come back than all these doctors that I could care less about.
Well, and I totally understand that sentiment. I totally agree with you. But in
Sean Christian as Mike Horton. He would have been perfect. They still could have done the little Chelsea thing, and it would have had more, like, brevity to it, because that's Hope's cousin who would have been in love with Beau's daughter. You know, there would have been more drama and soapiness to that than this person that we were told was Victor's BFF from whenever, when we've been watching Victor on the screen for 30 years and have never heard about this guy.
Well, and that might be possibly blamed on Dina Higley. I can't remember if he arrived before or after her run began. But Days of Our Lives had a 204,000 viewer increase for the week of October 13th through 17th. What in the world is going on that it jumps that much?
Days fans are loyal. They are. That's why it's really frustrating that they're under the gun and in the state that they're in, because all they need is somebody to really write halfway decent stories. And Days fans have always rebounded more than any other soap, you know, in the last couple of years. They're loyal. Days fans will watch anything, obviously.
Well, and Nikki, one quick question before we move on from Days of Our Lives. If you were going to have John Callahan come on Days of Our Lives, and supposedly they have to pay, I mean, if they actually did pay big bucks to have him come on for his short stint, don't you think that they could have taken him, possibly gotten rid of, say, a character like Melanie to pay,
yes, per, please,
pay,
do
pay
so.
For him?
I'm all for it. Oh. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Yeah.
Well,
she's got to go. That is, oh, and her attempt at seducing Philip, please.
She's running a race with Eden from Young and the Restless as the most annoying young adult characters in the history of daytime television. I would beg for Rihanna to come back to Wyatt Earp before I'd watch, and I thought she was annoying. Mm-hmm. I mean,
before we move on, the previews have come out. Brooke posted them on the blog about Galen Gehrig's premiere. And in true Days of Our Lives fashion, they have him shirtless in his first scenes. So I have to just ask Nikki, did you watch the clip? And are you looking forward to shirtless Galen this week?
I haven't watched the clip, but shirtless Galen is always good.
Okay,
yes,
so the next question will be if the actor who's going to play Allison Sweeney's brother will be shirtless in the first week as well.
Stepbrother.
Stepbrother, yeah, there we go, sorry.
Okay. Oh, you mean Eric Martzoff? He's
yes.
got a nice upper body, so that would work for me.
Okay, I don't have any segue, so I'm going to just say, not a whole lot of interest happened for me personally on Bold and the Beautiful this week, but Jillian posted something on the blog, which is very intriguing. And it goes to this whole concept of, let's get a handycam and record outside. Apparently, Bold and the Beautiful went and recorded some of their outside shots with Ron Moss and Kyle Lauder, in which Kyle Lauder's character took a spill. And in the background, you can actually see the CBS logo in the reflection of the building's windows. Any thoughts? Just throwing it out there.
Sloppy editing, as usual.
Jamie, any comment?
Well, I'd actually say I agree, sloppy editing, but what's sad is that it's not usual for Bold and the Beautiful. I think that Susan Flannery went up there to P-Pack and started shadowing that Ellen Wheeler. I tell you, we have got to – Ellen Wheeler is the – I don't want to say the Antichrist, but she's the Antichrist of soap opera. If she starts getting all these other shows on board with this, it's going to be over before we know it. Why would Brad Bell even entertain turning the bold and the beautiful, which has always been so lush and glamorous, into anything resembling what someone is doing on the dead last show.
Well, and here's the other thing. On All My Children this last week, in the midst of the CGI
fiasco.
Nightmare.
Well, a gluttony fest. We had a scene of Ricky Paul Gold and Beth Ehlers talking to each other in a stairwell once again. I thought, my God, here we go. We have these two try to escape this crap from Guiding Light, and they still end up talking in a stairwell at a hospital about something, and with really crappy sounding mics. It's like, we cannot escape this. It's cropping up everywhere.
At least, you know, their background in that stairwell was there. I mean, I'm sorry, but I said this on the Girls Night Out podcast, but it looked like, you know, when Aiden was outside looking for Greenlee or whatever, it looked like he was standing in front of a giant screen playing The Wizard of Oz. Didn't even look like he was part of his surroundings. It was such bad editing.
Let's try and talk about something a little bit more interesting than the Bold and the Beautiful sloppy editing. And let's talk about As the World Turns, Jack and Carly, which, if there is one thing that Michael Park and Maura West prove week in and week out, is that they are two of daytime's best actors of their generation, period. They are just absolutely awesome. And the stuff that they have, the scenes that they have, the chemistry they have, and the acting that they do is outstanding. And this in by no way, shape, or form is a reflection on the actress who plays Julia, whose name slips me at the moment. Is it Julie Pinson, I believe? She's a very talented...
Who plays...
Janet.
What did I say?
Julia.
Julia.
Might as well be the same character.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. No reflection on her, because she's a very talented actress as well. But Jack and Carly are destined for each other. And this stuff, it's like, we had no payoff with crap. Holden. There we go. We had no payoff with Holden and Carly. And now we're all of a sudden jumping headlong into Janet and Jack. I mean, obviously it's been building a little bit more than Holden and Carly did, but still, there's no direction when it comes to these two characters, and it just seems like they're being pulled apart. Any thoughts?
Oh my gosh, so phenomenal when they were in the hotel room and at the very end, and he was explaining why he can't be with her, and she was basically pouring her heart out to him, and they had the flashbacks. I was just like, okay, somebody needs to pull a James Stenbeck and, like, lock everybody in their room so she can't get out of there, so they have to be together. I was so upset when she left.
And on another topic, regarding Terry Colombino and Austin Peck, who are wonderful together, this is no discredit to the girl who won the intern contest, because she seems to be an okay actress. But this storyline that she's in is the same storyline. We discussed this in the last week's CBS episode, but it's the exact same storyline that freaking Katie has been in for the last 4 years. Nothing ever changes with her.
Can I piggyback back to Jack and Carly?
Okay.
I'm a huge Jack and Carly fan. Love them. They're one of my favorite couples in daytime. But the last thing I ever want to see again is Carly have to explain to Jack why they belong together. Screw Jack. Jack and Holden. Now, Holden was better with Harley. I mean, Carly than he was with
Starting
his own
to suffer
wife.
From Luke's verbal dyslexia.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I just cannot stand these women on these shows having to beg these sanctimonious guys anymore. I was enjoying Carly and Holden, and this all reeks of desperation. As the World Turns is in a desperate, desperate state to get back to what they only know how to do. So they're like, let's put everybody back together and put all the bullcrap back front and center. They messed up what could have been a really...
They messed up Luke and Noah, and as a result, they're suffering.
And because they also lost all up. The... Holden and Carly could have been hot.
They could have been huge.
And I like Jack and Janet, but I don't want Janet to just turn into another Julia who, like...
Oh, God.
I mean...
Well, we've had two Julias, and neither of them were great.
It's like, let's just rush back and put these couples back together for what? I mean, is it easier? Are they trying to recycle and save on scripts over there?
Though to be fair, considering
like
the state
fair.
Considering the state of As the World Turns is
when they
with
start
the
being fair
the
to
moment,
us, the viewers, that's what I'll be fair when they start treating
well,
us.
But that's
fair.
What I'm saying. I actually would sort of like Julia 1.0 to return, because at least then it would be something entertaining to watch. Jack and Janet and Carly, there's no way Janet has a hope or a prayer. But Julia returns, that would be
I think you're selling Julie Pinson short. I think
she can
be a viable rival with
Marley. I think she's
who
is
wants
too-
to see what can that the first Julia come back and do? Hold Harley in a pit? I mean Harley, shit, I'm losing my mind tonight. She's gonna hold Carly in a pit of quicksand again, or I mean,
well, but at least it would be something entertaining
for you, Luke. Yeah, you like that. She can hold a knife at somebody's neck or something.
Well, whatever. Anyways, in other As the World Turns news, Peyton List was on Ghost Whisperer last week, which she's been getting herself around. She's been getting a lot of cameos, and Nikki, I know that you want her to return, but she just keeps getting more and more work. Do you have a hope or a prayer that she'll ever return?
I don't think she'll ever return, but I don't know. She had this huge fan base when she was on soaps, and she's not really getting anything solid outside of it, so I don't know. I personally wouldn't like it if she came back. I would. I think that would be awesome, but I don't see it happening.
Let's see. We've covered As the World Turns, Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless. Does that mean that all we have left is Guiding Light?
Mm-hmm. And it's not going to save the world, I'll tell you that much.
No. But, hey, I have to ask. For those of you who may have not listened to the Girls' Night Out episode, Melody and Nikki and Reagan and Tina were on it, and they were just... and Nikki proposed the idea of a Save Lizzie campaign. In this episode, you didn't necessarily say your ideas about where this came from or whatever, but I'm intrigued. What is your idea for the Save Lizzie campaign?
Get her out of the dungeon and away from the stupid guy that needs to go away forever that has an Australian accent that is not Cyrus. Ha! Huh. That would make it Kane. Anyway.
So were you going to be sending some sort of, like, Manolo Blahnik to... The set in Peapack, New Jersey, so that Lizzie can actually have good shoes to wear once again?
Like, I thought that far ahead.
Oh, okay.
But,
so
you
this
know,
wasn't necessarily a well-thought-out Save Lizzie campaign.
No, but, well, the, but if you look at, like, characters being out of character, the old Lizzie would have let Kane rot in that hole. She'd have just walked off.
True. But
I was
her,
like,
but
why
to
are you
her just,
back?
Cyrus basically kidnapped her again.
Yeah, but if she would have just left before, you know, and not tried to help Kane get out of the hole, she'd have been long gone before Cyrus ever even got there.
True. Now, Melody,
mm-hmm.
Who is it that's returning to Guiding Light? You mentioned someone's name, and I have no clue who this is.
Elaney Andros Cooper, Frank's ex-wife and Marina's mother, is returning on December 1st.
Did she make a cameo when Marina was thinking she was going to get married or become a cop or something like that?
Yeah.
On Marina's ITL, way back when we had those, she made a cameo on it. She came to see her graduate from the police academy and become a detective or something.
In the light. Isn't it sad that I long for those episodes?
Wait a minute. I'm a little bit – well, yeah, it's sad that you were remembering them so fondly because just look what we're in for now. But for some reason, was I under the impression that the actress who played Gabriella on One Life to Live was somehow connected to the Coopers at one point? Or is that just something that I have
– Fiona Hutchison played Jenna Bradshaw, who was Buzz's wife. Who was
and didn't she return for
mom.
A short time?
She came back for the Mother's Day episode.
Yeah, her and
that's
Nadine,
what I'm getting confused.
Their ghosts came back. Elaney was played by Melina Kanakarides when she was actually, you know,
or Providence.
She was half of the show. Well, in the middle of one of the show's biggest triangles in the 90s with Frank and Alan Michael. And Alan Michael was at that time played by Rick Hurst. And that's when I was, like, in love with the show. and Liz Kiefer was Blake, and there was, you know, oh my God, I'll never forget. And, you know, that's why I get so grossed out about Marina and Alan Michael, because he thought he was her dad, you know, at one point. And, you know, but yeah, Frank and Eleni were like promised to be married together in Greece, and then they hated each other. And then she married Alan Michael, and she became a Spalding. And, you know, it was just this great story. And then when Frank and Eleni got married, Blake and Alan Michael, like, consoled each other by getting drunk and having sex on the roof at one of the buildings on Fifth Street. Oh, God, like,
I know.
Oh, it was so good back then. It really was.
And, but at the same time, wasn't this the era that many fans were decrying?
No, no. Mm-hmm. This was hot. This was so hot. I mean, Guiding Light was on fire. This was when they were on the cover of Soap Opera Weekly with the Lights Out episode. No, they were – this was – yeah. I mean, well, a lot of – they got a lot of flack for killing off Maureen during that time. But in my opinion, it didn't miss a boat. I mean, it didn't miss a beat. Now, I'm sure Mike and Roger Newcomb, some of those guys that have been watching for, you know, 20-something years. But I started watching in 92 or 93, and I didn't know Maureen and didn't care really. So, you know – Nick and Mindy were there, and Rick Hurst was there, and Fiona Hutchison, and Michael Zaslow was still alive as Roger Thorpe, and Holly, and Alexandra, and, you know, it was, the Spaldings weren't cartoonish, they were captains of industry, and Vincent Irizarry was there as Nick. I mean, the show was the bomb. And Kim Zimmer and Beth Ehlers weren't on. That's what's so strange. It's like, this show was on fire, and it's too... arguably biggest leading ladies were not on the show at that time.
Well, that's some food for thought. Also, Melody, final thought.
Tell about it.
Do you want me to tell?
Yes.
Okay. Final thought. There's a rumor going around that Cyrus and Marina could be reunited sooner rather than later, and I had to call Nikki and tell her about it, and we're really excited. It's my
and who's the one who spouted the rumor?
Murray Bartlett. Himself.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Nikki, final thought that is not Melody's final thought.
I have a thought. Okay. That includes brain cells.
Okay.
No, James? I just...
Oh, sorry.
I just hope that Days gets better and that my CBS soaps pick up the pace, because I'm a little bit Snorville right now with all of them.
Jamie, final thought.
Have your cats spayed and neutered.
Well, I don't mean to follow that up on this, but we did a great interview with Days of Our Lives' Brian Totillo. If you've not had a chance to listen to it yet, be sure to check it out, because it's a great interview. It was a pleasure to visit with him, and I think you'll enjoy it. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.